Blog Talk Radio.
Doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a stronger neck. Sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Listen again. This is for grown looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists, so act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys, you can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking f***ing ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go. We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can,
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Y'all, save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.
Live on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the black community, presented by Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program in association with Gumbo for the Soul International. Welcome, good afternoon, Saturday blessings. I am Beverly Black, and I am the creator of Gumbo for the Soul, the recipe for literacy in the black community, so named after my first book, released in 2005, Rife with scholarships and information, an anthology that begs for you to open the pages and take a walk inside. Today's show, bullying, one word, bullying, that's what we will be addressing. Our guest, Dr. Marcia Demures. First, let me bring on my co-host. This show was all inspired because of her testimony. Kelly Williams Bolar is an Akron, Ohio-based single mother. Bolar made headlines in 2011 when she was arrested and later convicted for sending her two daughters outside of their school district, which was in a safer and more affluent area of Ohio. Since her incident, Bolar has made guest appearances, reliving her unsettling experience on various news stations and talk shows such as Dr. Phil and Tribe Family Channel, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. She has also appeared with Roland Martin. So without further ado, Kelly, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you? And thank you again for having me on.
Always, Kelly, always. You know, the one thing that I really appreciate about you and about your co-sponsorship of this show is that we get to keep the conversation going. We are going to talk about bullying, your
yes.
book. We thank our sponsors, you, of course. We thank PowerTax.com, and we also thank Mr. Larry D. Davis, who accompanied us on the last show. We have a phenomenal guest, international bestseller, author, advocate. She has a plethora of layers that she brings to the platform. So, Kelly, help me welcome Dr. Marcia Demures. Hello, Dr. Marcia.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Beverly. Hi. How are you?
So blessed.
I'm
so
glad to meet you.
Great, great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. I've been excited and anticipating this show. You know, Kelly is an educator as well. So let me turn the mic over to Kelly first. She will tell you just a little bit about herself in her own words. So Kelly, meet Dr. Mm-hmm. Marcia and tell her a little bit about yourself, and then Dr. Marcia,
okay.
you do the same.
Okay. First, Dr. Marcia, I'm just so excited that we're on today together, and I'm just humbled to be able to have you, you know, on our show. This is awesome. As she said, my name is Kelly Williams Bolar. I'm an advocate for education. You know, I've always worked in the field for kids and students, you know, inner city children just need, you know, the mentoring, and so I'm always there. I've been doing this, oh, my God, for maybe 15 years now. And, of course, you know, my story is that, you know, some years back now, I had got arrested for sending my kids to my parents' school district. And, you know, so that even catapulted me even to a more of an advocacy for kids and for equality of education and just wanting, you know, to do right, not just for my children, but for parents and grandparents. I've always been a fighter for that, and so that just gave me even more fire to help other parents and grandparents to achieve what they want to achieve with their children. But I don't know, let's see, I'll hand it over to you now.
Well, great, thank you. I admire your work, and I'm glad that someone is stepping into that function. My name is Marcia Demers, and I was born and raised in Jamaica, but I've been living in the United States for a very long time. I am a pharmacist by profession. I am also a licensed realtor, and as Beverly said, I am a two-time international best-selling author. My big thing is I'm actually on the show because my son experienced bullying through middle school and high school for 7 years. So, you know, it's just my honor to be here and, you know, have some input.
Wow.
And basically, basically that's it for me. My big thing is philanthropy, giving back. And I'm also a member of the Kiwanis Club. And we do a lot for children also. As a matter of fact, we just awarded 9 scholarships this week to young people who were matriculating from high school to college. So,
That is amazing. Amazing. 7 years. And see, that's one thing that I have zero tolerance for, is for children to get bullied. I mean, like, that just irks me to no end. Rather, and let me tell you, being in the system, being in it, sometimes, you know, you see it in the kids, and sometimes you see the teachers. It's like, what is this? You know, so I don't know if it's conscious or what, you know, but yes,
say
but
that.
Absolutely. And it's mind-boggling. But, you know, when I see it, I address it right off the bat because I know I was bullied as a young girl. I remember my 7th or 8th grade year, and every day at a particular time, close to 3 o'clock, close to dismissal, I'm at my locker, and this girl would just come out of nowhere, and she just was a big girl. And I was a little thing, and she would just come, and I remember just yelling in my ear, just talking about, you know, I'm going to beat you up at 3:10, and this is like basically it's a wrap for your life. And every day she did that. And so look at me. Here I am in my 40s, and I still remember that day. I still remember those times. So those things are detrimental to our teens as far as learning, as far as them being great, you know. That just plays a huge part of their everyday function, trying to make it throughout the school day. I feel so bad for the baby.
Wow.
No, of course you still remember. That has an impact on you. I mean, it has. It had such an impact. So my son is 21 now, and I can see that he still struggles with his self-esteem. You know, he still struggles with being socially awkward because of that. So it's not something that disappears, you know, you still remember.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
and guess what? The bullier, they forget. I can guarantee you, a few years or even, you know, now or a few years from now, that person will say, I didn't do that. I don't remember being like that. Yeah, you were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad.
Well, ladies, this is very, very enlightening. Just hearing your testimonies, and Kelly, you've been working in the environment for over 15 years, and Dr. Marcia, for you to feel that sense of helplessness with your son experiencing bullying for 7 years, we're going to unpack the subject. So, ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, I'm Beverly Black with my co-host, Kelly Williams-Bolar, and our guest, Dr. Marcia Demures, and we are going to unpack some facts about bullying. So, what is bullying? What is bullying? So, according to stopbullying.gov, bullying is unwanted aggressive behavior among school-age children. And you see how it says among school-age children, and you two just said that you witnessed teachers, adults bullying. So we need to make sure that we're not marginalizing bullying. Anyone can be a bully. But here it says school-age children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. Now, I'm going to switch my resources here to APA.org. That is the American Psychological Association. And we're going to restart that bullying definition. Bullying is a form of aggressive behavior in which someone intentionally or repeatedly causes another person injury or discomfort. Bullying can take place in the form of physical contact, words, or more subtle actions. The bullied individual typically has trouble defending him or herself and does nothing to cause the bullying. So that is fact number one. Bullying takes on forms of physical, verbal, emotional abuses, subtle actions. It's nothing that the person that is being bullied may have provoked. So we need to unpack, what are some of the observations that the two of you ladies have observed when it comes to bullying out of the experiences that you have to share here? And we're going to start with Kelly because of the dynamics of being in the classroom. What are some of the dynamics of bullying that you've seen in the classroom, on the schoolyard, be it, you know, administrative or student?
Okay. I have several situations. And there was this one boy, he's very slim boy. He's very tall, very slim. And at first we didn't realize that he was I didn't catch it at first. Then I started realizing he didn't want to come in our room. And so, you know, so I started paying more attention to what's going on. When he would come in, the kids would talk about his height. And so I guess he became conscious about his height. And so they would, you know, of course they would just say things, little smart remarks or whatever, and then I would have to say, hey, you know, that's not nice. You don't talk about anybody in this classroom, or for that matter, just don't talk about anyone, because no one in this classroom is perfect. And so I would just have to check the kids, you know, because kids are real, their tongues are just, they don't care on many, many cases. They just don't care. And so they just say whatever they want to say. So I would get peers, you know, they would pick at one another. And this particular boy was so distraught, and he was going through a depression about it. And towards this past March or April, he didn't come in. And we were trying to figure out, you know, he had missed a few days or whatnot. We found out he tried to commit suicide. That was that right then. And we were like, there were signs because first of all, he was being bullied, and then he would be sad and depressed. And then one day he came in and he was so happy. And that was a clear sign, because he thought, hey, this is it. I'm exiting, you know. And thank goodness it did not happen. But good grief, you know, if that had happened, and we at all, it's four staff in our classroom, and if none of us would have caught that, you know, or gotten him some kind of help or whatever, and then he would have done that. That just would have, I don't know how I would have been able to just continue on, because I would have felt that I wasn't, you know, giving the proper services to these children, because they're still kids. They're just kids. Over the years, the past years, I've seen adults as well, you know, say little things. I'm in the hall, and they say little digs at kids, and it's like, where did that come from? And as you know, you're an adult, so why would you say that? And kids, they're kids. They're not sharp. They don't know how to come back and say, you know, whatever back to a teacher. And so, you know, and the teachers know that. So, you know, when I would see, like, a teacher do something, then I, you know, and if it got to the point where I would just, you know, tell the teacher, hey, so evidently that wasn't a slip-up, or that wasn't a mistake. You're taking digs. You're doing things on purpose to these kids. And a lot of the kids, you know, they're kids. They don't know how to come back. They don't know how to say certain things back to an adult. And so then they take this home with them. And then of course, you know, then the parents trying to figure out, well, why is my baby not happy? You know, then they come to the school and they try to figure out what's going on, you know, with little Junior, why he's not, you know, responding, or why he doesn't want to go to school anymore. And it's because Mr. or Mrs. such and such, you know, is tormenting these kids. And I just think it would be great if we could just get some more rules in place about, you know, adults understanding what to say, what is considered appropriate and what is considered not appropriate to children, you know, because it's psychological. These are our future. These children are going to one day, you know, maybe even, you know, lead the country, and they're going to take care of us doing and saying to these kids, because it really gets out of control. It really, really does.
Yeah.
Wow. That is so true. That is so true. I'm going to have Dr. Marcia come in. I just want to respond about the attempted suicide and the self-esteem that was torn down in this tall young man to drive him to that point. And I'm so very glad, as you said, Kelly, that he did not succeed. I actually started a show, indeed. I started a show January 22nd, 2018, and it is called Suicide is Not the Answer. My brother committed suicide when I was 17. He was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I always lived with this this fear that my own sons wouldn't make it past 20 to their 21st birthday, especially in a time where, you know, young black men are hunted and, you know, just things, so much going on. And I just, you know, had that stigma. I was just stigmatized about, would my sons, you know, go beyond 20 in their own lives. So I, too, support the fact that I'm so, so very glad that that young man did not succeed. And I use my voice so that others can feel what survivors of suicide victims feel. The pain, the hurt, the depth, and the measure cannot be, you know, stated enough. So I just wanted to make that point, and I just want to also expound on you, Kelly. Dr. Marcia, when I first met Kelly, this is what Kelly was talking about. Her passion was about bullying, and I didn't even know about her book or what she had gone through in her life, because bullying was just so much of a passion to her that when I learned about her book and what she had gone through with, you know, trying to find a better education for her children, that's when I got to the depth of her story. So when she says she's an advocate for bullying, she is not playing. But go ahead, Dr. Marcia, respond so accordingly about your, you know, experiences.
Hello, Kelly. I think Kelly and I need to connect because, I'm still, like, very passionate about this. I get very emotional about it when I think about it, you know. And so I think we need to connect. Anyway.
Absolutely.
According to the NVEEE, which is the National Voices for Equality, Education, and Enlightenment, every 7 minutes a child is bullied. Every 7 minutes. But get this. Adult intervention is only 4%. 4%. Peer intervention is 11%, and no intervention is 85%. And I have to say that those are incredible based on my experience. You know, I do believe that based on my experience. And, you know, talking about suicide, you know, making the connection, a new review of studies from 13 countries found signs of an apparent connection between bullying, being bullied, and suicide itself. And this study was done by Yale, the Yale School of Medicine. So this is a serious issue, not to be taken lightly, and we all need to work to come up with a solution. Anyway, to get to the point, now that I've gotten off my little platform there.
No, you can stay right in that pocket, honey, because you are telling it like a T.I. is, you know, and you can expound as lengthy and as in-depth as you like. This is that.
So, to answer your question, you know, like I said, I'm very passionate about it. I still get it. I mean, it still brings tears to my eyes when I think about what my son went through. I mean, like, one of the happiest days for me was when he graduated from high school, just to get him out of there, you know? But anyway, you know, like, so some of the experiences I had was, first of all, I was in that school, like, almost every month, at least once a month, due to some incident with my child. And there was always an excuse. And it seems to me that in the school, there's kind of like a code of honor among the teachers or staff members where they don't, like, rat each other out and try to protect each other, rather than they give the precedence over protecting the children, which is, like, totally wrong. because I had a tutor for my son. My son also has a disability. He has attention deficit, and he's also very small. So those are two things that work against him, you know, as far as being a target. You know, he's my size. I'm only like 5'3". So, you know. So basically, I was in that school, and it says zero tolerance for bullying on paper. But I did not experience that.
On paper,
on paper. When I went into the school, there was always an excuse. Foreigner choked. I mean, he said his legs were shaking.
Oh, my God.
He said he was like he could hardly breathe, and he was shaking all over when that boy got done with him. When I went to the school, they told me they couldn't see anything. My son told me, Mom, they're not going to see anything on camera because he was very strategic the way he did it. He put me in the corner away from the camera. Sure enough, when I went to the school, we didn't see anything on camera. And that was how they dealt with it, because they did not see anything. It was not believable. Okay, Then, you know, he had issues on the bus. He would get on the bus. You know, the other boys would see him coming. They would spread their legs so he would have nowhere to sit. I mean, bullying happens everywhere. From the moment you walk out the door to the time you get to school. It's not just in the classroom.
Right.
Okay. Then, you know, to tie in with what Kelly was saying, he had an ESD teacher, the exceptional student education specialist, who was supposed to be helping him through school because of his attention deficit. One day, she decided to take it upon herself to corner him and call him to her office to kind of like coax him into saying that he was responsible for what happened to him. Like, you instigated that, didn't you? You bothered that boy, didn't you? Yada, yada, yada. And my son came home and told me this. And I was so annoyed. So that was another situation under which I ended up at the school. And when I put it in front of the little board that I was sitting in front of, first of all, I wrote the principal a letter. I put something. I had everything in writing. I sent an email, and I requested that the teacher who was involved be there. Well, she had an excuse. She had a conflict, and she could not attend the meeting. And that was acceptable to the principal. So she never showed up. You know, so these are the kind of things that was like I was just banging my head against the wall, you know, to the point where I eventually wrote the superintendent of Broward Schools. I wrote him a letter, and I got no response, but I can't say for sure if he even got the letter. So, you know, I don't know what happened, but I got no response. But, I mean, I've had situations where I heard the bus come around in my community, and I didn't hear my son, so I got up. I worked from home, so I got up, I opened the door, I'm like, where's Bradley? I look down the street, and this boy is on top of him, pummeling him.
Oh.
You know, this is what I witnessed for myself, you know, and I had to drive over to the boy's house and talk to his parents, and, you know, so it was a long ordeal, like I said, for 7 years, and my son fought back twice. I saw that my son, you know how you have to take your child to the doctor, he was always under the growth curve. So I decided to put him into martial arts. So he knew how to fight. But he'd always say, Mom, I'm so afraid of hurting anyone, you know, even though he was being hurt. He never wanted to fight back because he knew his skills and he knew that he could hurt someone really seriously. But he fought back twice. And then, of course, that was when everybody at the school became concerned and started calling me, Bradley was in a fight and this and that. And I am sorry. I do not advocate violence, nor would I ever. But at that point in time, I had it. And I just said, what is it that you want me to do? I said, if you need to suspend him, send him home. That's all I have to say. I said, I have come to you guys repeatedly, and I have gotten no protection for him. You know, so I said, if that's the way you feel that he did something wrong and he deserves suspension, send him home for 2 days. I said, that's all I can say at this point, you know. So those were some of my experiences. You know, it's too much to go in for, you know, 7 years.
Well, go ahead, Kelly.
I was just thinking that, you know, everything's on record. She's been telling them over and over again different situations, and then when he decides, hey, enough is enough, I'm gonna defend myself. Then all of a sudden, oh, look at him. You know, oh, he's now, you know, he's a problem. No,
No, it's on record. I've been coming up here every month or however long, and I've been telling you guys that there's issues, and no one says me.
It's just mind-blowing. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to, commend both of you ladies for your strength in this journey, because it is something that just, it really pulls at your heart. You know, we're emotional creatures. We're women. We don't play. You know, you don't mess with our babies. And I'm like you, Dr. Marcia. What do you want me to do? Oh, my son whooped somebody's ass? Forgive my language, live on Tribe Family Channel. But is that the problem, that my child fought back and now you want to call me because someone is now feeling the pains of their actions? You know, God doesn't like ugly, and karma will come back to you. And it's usually the authorities, they don't really want to deal with the troublemaker, because now they've got to do this and do that and do the other. So they go to the more passive person they put those requests in there and they expect them to be met because they know you can. But they know the person over here is out of control and comes from probably an environment that is either lacking supervision or some of the elements that would make them a whole well-rounded person. Now, again, I'm going to refer to the American Psychological Association, because they're, and that's APA.org/topics/bullying. Now, it offers different links. There's a PDF file, a resolution on bullying among children and youth. There's some related reading, Raising a Generation to Be Safe and Kind Online. There's a module for teachers entitled Bullying. And October is National Bullying Prevention Month, so we'll definitely keep the conversation going. But there's elements here about what you can do. And there's four bullet points. Beware of cyberbullying. Learn what cyberbullying is, its impact, and what you can do if the victim is you or your child. Stop office bullying. Kids aren't the only bullies. Bullying also occurs in the workplace. Learn more about the strategies employers are using to put a stop to this destructive practice. Bullying, what parents, teachers can do to stop it. Questions for bullying expert Susan Swear, PhD, and I'm reading it just as it's placed here. How parents, teachers, and kids can take action to prevent bullying. APA recommends that teachers, parents, and students take certain actions to address bullying. Now, these four bullet points are clickable links. And additionally, getting help. School bullying is nothing new, but psychologists identify new ways to prevent it. And then lastly, infoaboutkids.org. This is a web resource center for behavioral science-based information on children, youth, and families developed by leaders of seven divisions of the American Psychological Association. So that is available on APA.org, and you can find those and other resources. So I would like for now, Doc, what are some of the tools that you yourself would recommend from a parent's perspective? You offered one. You said that you put your child in self-defense classes, put them in a martial arts class. So that's one way that we can help our children, is to equip them with the tools that they'll need to defend themselves. And martial arts has other benefits. It raises your self-esteem and confidence. I put my children through martial arts. And so besides martial arts, Dr. Marcia and Kelly, I'd like you women to offer ways and suggestions. And these are just suggestions, listeners. We're not authorities on the matter. We are advocates. We're telling our testimony, and we're reading resources online that are available to you as well. But by your own testimony, what are some of your own examples of what you can do, starting with Dr. Marcia?
Well, first, you know, I always try to start with me, you know, before I start pointing fingers or whatever. Then I'll address the outside problem. So I would say, first of all, you have to be a role model in your home. You know, you have to set the principle or the precepts where you treat everyone respectfully, and your children have to see, not only hear you say that, but see you do that. You have to be able to teach the difference between, like, you know, for example, like a respectful debate, like you can have a disagreement, two people disagreeing on an issue, and teach the difference between that and intolerance, and to exclude things, you know, such as name calling, threatening, social bullying, which would be like embarrassing someone in public, or anything physical, of course. You have to teach your children how to listen. And again, this is all by example. You know, and you have to be able to take time to listen to your children, too, so you can pick up the clues or cues if anything is going on with them. And, you know, try to stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you have to walk your talk. So some of the things, those are some things to say.
Mm-hmm. You hit the nail on the nose. I don't mean to cut you off. You said you have to walk your talk, and I don't want you to keep stopping every time. I'm just echoing your sentiment.
Yeah, you know, you have to basically examine your own beliefs, you know, because, as I said, you know, like some of the teachers were acting contrary to what they should be doing, you know, in terms of protecting the child, from what I see, you know, and making excuses, and that's just not acceptable. You have to establish a culture of respect for differences, you know, make everyone feel like they belong, you know, and just and basically, you know, teach your children also not only about if they're being bullied, but if they see someone else being bullied, to, if you see something, say something. You know, so those are basically the tips that I have. And the big one, which, you know, I think Kelly's already playing this role for me, is is I really think that they need an advocate who's neutral. I know Kelly's in the school system, and she's undoubtedly doing a great job. But my idea was to have advocates who are neutral, who are not in any way affiliated with the school system, you know, that represent children when, you know, issues like this come about. So that's my input.
Wow, wow. And Kelly, you can respond, and then I'll come back in.
Well, I really love how she said that as far as, like, you know, having someone who's neutral, who would not have a bias towards one student versus another or whatever the situation is. I think that's huge. That would be great. I also think that we should have some kind of in-service. And throughout the school year, you know, sometimes, you know, teachers get burnt out, like right around February, March. I think that we need to have more in-services
so we can keep in tune with what's going on and keeping engaged and involved with what's going on with these students and what's going on, what you need to hear and listen to. And the same thing with the kids. I think that kids, we need to have some kind of intervention where it's some kind of end service. And like you said, I'm not a professional as far as that's concerned. All I do, all my job is to do is to make sure these children have a safe, are in a safe environment, okay? I'm not, you know, that's it. That's, and they learn, they're there to learn. I don't have any credentials in anything as far as bullying. I just want to put that out there, but I just really truly feel that we need to have some kind of intervention for these kids because it's an epidemic. This is getting out of hand. This is ridiculous. These kids are going home ready to hurt themselves or just not even becoming that bubbly child that they once were. And another thing that you had mentioned, God don't like ugly. There was a saying, my aunt, she's 80-something years old, but ever since I was a little girl, this was her quote, I always heard it from her. Okay, I don't know if it originated from her, but I know she would say, God don't like ugly, and he ain't too fond of pretty. So don't think you all that either. Now, I don't know if she made that up or not, but it's good to me, and I've always used it because it was, you know, it's beautiful, it's relevant, you know, and so, but yeah, I'm just loving all the things that she was just saying as far as, you know, it starts from home. You know, you have to, you know, when you have a family and you have kids, you have to treat that bullying, it stems from somewhere. And absolutely, it got to stem from home first. Those kids that go out and bully, more likely they got a bigger brother and sister that probably bully them. So the parents that have, they must intervene and tell these kids, you know, teach these kids that we're all under the same roof. We're all going to treat each other with love and respect. If you're going to be a bully, then that's what you're going to do in a work environment. And that's what you're going to do. And how are you going to be able to have great social skills and be able to, or customer service skills out here when you want to be rude or obnoxious to someone else? You're going to have a very high turnover of finding you a position out here in this world because no one's going to accept that. And so you're really heading these kids down the wrong, the kids that's doing the bullying, you're heading these kids down the wrong, you're giving them the wrong, what's the word? You're giving them the wrong okay to do. You know, you're not nipping it in the bud, and you need to, so these kids can stop doing it and they can become, you know, use to channel that and something else. These kids is bullying. You have to channel their energy. If you start hearing that your kid is from preschool all the way up, I mean, you got preschool, you got little kids that try to take another baby's bottle, try to bite them, try to scratch them, all that kind of stuff. You got to start nipping it. And they're young, but believe me, they're smart enough to know right from wrong. So you got to nip it from that age. From all the way up until they start getting into junior high and high school. And even, you know, getting these kids that have these major behaviors, getting them into constructive things. If you don't have the finances and you don't have the money, you have local community centers. And like I said, if I was to ever have any extra funding, I would create, in most of the community centers we have, they all have something for sports. They all have something for sports and basketball and volleyball and all these different things for these kids. But what they don't have and what a lot of our kids always think they're going to be is some great rapper or singer. And the thing of it is, I think that it would be so ideal to start putting in, what are those little things called, those sound rooms where you can just play and you can play with, like, you know, it's what they, you know, what they, I'm coming
like
to a blank.
Like the engineering booth. Yeah, like the engineering booth.
Where they can go in there
the
and
recording
they can
studio.
Recording studio, exactly. And they can go in and they can make the little CDs, little dubs. They can make the little CDs and different things of that nature. That is, you put that into a community center, oh, my goodness, because everybody's not athletic. Kids are idle and they want to act up and they want to have behaviors. You put something like that in each community center, oh, I just think the dynamics would change wholeheartedly because the kids would be ready. They can't wait to leave and they can't wait to go to these community centers to be able to do those kind of things, just like the kids that play basketball. You know, you gotta channel that energy. It's a must.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that is
I just
so true. Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead, Dr. Marcia.
Real quick. I just one brief comment. I just wanted to tell Miss Kelly not ever to downplay her commitment to keeping our kids safe, because that is huge. We need more people like
you
in the school system. You know, she was like, well, I'm not this and I'm, yes, you are. You're everything to me. A parent like me who went through this, you are everything to me. And that's
Thank
all
you.
I wanted to say. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Look at this connection here. Live
yes.
on Tribe
Isn't
Family
beautiful?
Channels, ladies and gentlemen. The recipe for literacy in the Black community and the dialogue is so rife with my co-host, Kelly Williams-Bolar, and our special guest, Dr. Marcia Demures. Now, Kelly, you left off with a suggestion on what we can do as far as the recording booths in the after school program and what have
mm-hmm.
you. So I'm going to open up this segment on how to prevent bullying, helping our kids understand bullying, and then this longer segment is about keeping the lines of communication open. And my question to both of you, after I read all of this, is what do you think parents can do to help stop bullying? What do you think parents can do to help stop bullying? So bear with me. This is a long dissertation. And this bullying.gov/prevention/index. How to prevent bullying. Parents, school staff, and other caring adults have a role to play in preventing bullying. They can, and these are clickable links, help kids understand bullying, talk about what bullying is and how to stand up to it safely, tell kids bullying is unacceptable, make sure kids know how to get help, keep the lines of communication open, check in with kids often, listen to them, know their friends, ask about school, and understand their concerns. Encourage kids to do what they love. Special activities, interests, and hobbies can boost confidence, help kids make friends, and protect them from bullying behavior. Model how to treat others with kindness and respect. Now, that segment is clickable links, and as is the following. Help kids understand bullying. Kids who know what bullying is can better identify it. They can talk about bullying if it happens to them or others. Kids need to know ways to safely stand up to bullying and how to get help. Encourage kids to speak to a trusted adult if they are bullied or see others being bullied. The adult can give comfort, support, and advice, even if they can't solve the problem directly or if they're not the bully. I want to add that. Encourage the child to report bullying if it happens. Talk about how to stand up to kids who bully. Give tips like using humor or saying stop directly and confidently. Talk about what to do if those actions don't work, like walking away. Now, I'm not an advocate for using humor. There is nothing funny, and I'm not going to entertain you if you are bullying someone. So one might say, oh, just come back with some little lighthearted. And the thing is that I know they want you to use something to disarm the person in that confrontation. You know, there's commercials on TV, and you'll see the fathers yelling at the whole house. Someone's going to get it the next thing, something, and then someone plants a kiss and everyone laughs. Because they just disarm the situation. So I would rather say the word disarm or disarming mm-hmm. techniques rather than humor. So I'm going to read it over and put my part in. Give tips like using disarming techniques, not humor, and saying stop directly, because it's a serious matter, and confidently. So talk about what to do if those actions don't work, like walking away. Watch your back when you're walking. Talk about mm-hmm. strategies for staying safe, such as staying near adults or groups of other kids. Sometimes that works, but this is generalization. Urge them to help kids who are bullied by showing kindness or getting help. Showing kindness or getting help. So this is like on two sides of the seesaw, showing kindness. So you're being bullied. Now you're supposed to be humble to a point where they will walk all over you in this day and age. So I suggest getting help. And then they have some other resources, some webisodes and PDFs for the kids. Now, this is a little more in-depth with the bullet points, about 10 or so bullet points, but then my question to both of you upon my conclusion is, what do you think parents can do to help stop bullying? So this is my final dissertation. Keep the lines of communication open. Research tells us that children really do look to parents and caregivers for advice and help on tough decisions. Sometimes spending 15 minutes a day talking can reassure kids that they can talk to their parents if they have a problem. Start conversations about daily life and feelings with questions like these. What was one good thing that happened today? Any bad things? And what I would do is I would pick up my kids from school and I would say, how was your day? Did anything new, exciting, or special happen? And this was every day. What did you learn? They've had that well-rounded sense of security. I'm an at-home mom at the time, even when I was working. You know, your kids can pick up if you have their backs or not. So if they bring you a problem and they know that you're going to go off, what did you do? La, la, la. You know, they're not going to come to you because they didn't do anything. And they, if they can't come to you, then they're not. So you want to pick them up from school or daycare or whatever, and you want to know what happened in their life today. You've been gone, you know, 10, 12 hours, so find out what happened with your child while you were away. All right. What is lunchtime like at your school? Who do you sit with? What do you talk about? Remember, we're talking about keeping the lines of communication open between parent and child, caregiver and child. So you're asking questions. All right. What is it like to ride the school bus? What are you good at? What would you like best? What do you like best about yourself? So these are ways of starting conversations, keeping lines of communication open, and relating with your child. You know, some of the things and the questions like, what do you like best about yourself? You know, those are good dialogue questions, but you should have observed your child if they're at school enough by now to know that question already, so that you can inform the school as to how your child is and the temperament and personality of your child. You know your child better than anyone when they get to school, so you can't claim the "not my little Johnny" excuse. Yes, you're a little Johnny at my little school. So talking about bullying directly is an important step in understanding how the issue may be affecting kids. There are no right or wrong answers to these questions, but it is important to encourage kids to answer them honestly. Assure kids that they are not alone in addressing any problems that arise. Start conversations about bullying with questions like these. What does bullying mean to you? Describe what kids who bully are like. What do you think why do you think people bully? Who are the adults you trust most when it comes to things like bullying? Have you ever felt scared to go to school because you were afraid of bullying? What ways have you tried to change it? Now, that's a deep question to ask a child. What ways have you tried to change it? If someone's bullying you, it's someone else that needs to make the change. So we have to be cognizant when we're reading and taking in information, people. And that's why I stop and you know, go and unpack it. So I'm coming to the conclusion, four more points, and then your question again is, what do you think parents can do to stop bullying? So last four points. Have you and your friends left other kids out on purpose? Do you think that was bullying? Why or why not? What do you usually do when you see bullying going on? Do you ever see kids at your school being bullied by other kids, and how does that make you feel? Have you ever tried to help someone who is being bullied? What happened, and what would you do if it happens again? So all of that is right dialogue for this conversation that we're having live on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community, and our topic is bullying, co-hosted by Kelly Williams-Bolar and Dr. Marcia Demures. Their voices are the next voices you will hear to answer what do you think parents can do to help stop bullying. Kelly, you have the mic.
Okay. I was listening and I was thinking to myself, I remember when the moment happened to me, what I did not want to do, so I know that sometimes parents have to have a balance here, because what I didn't want to do, I never told my parents. Why? Because my parents, my father would have, it just would have been over the top.
He would have flipped the school on the field.
Yes.
He would have flipped the school
absolutely.
Over.
Let me tell you, my father didn't play when it came to me and my brother. Like in my day, we had paddles, okay? So, and just a real quick moment here, I got to tell you this story. So my brother gets a paddle, and they didn't call home to tell my father that he was going to get a paddle. So he finds out. So my father was a very big man, you know, like strong, like really strong, and he could be intimidating. So he was so upset, and so he goes up to the school, and he goes into the principal's office, and he looks at him, and I'm going to say exactly what he said. And my brother was sitting there. My brother came home. He was like, my God. He was like, Kelly, I thought he was going to kill him. He stood over the desk, and he looked at the man in his face. He said, if you ever, ever touch my son again, I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to whoop your ass. That's what he quoted, that's what he quoted to him. So you have to go, I knew at that school, at that time, I knew I was too scared to tell my parents that somebody was bullying me. So it has to be a medium where your kids aren't too afraid to tell you because they think you're going to go crazy. And also they're not too afraid to tell you because they don't feel like you're going to do anything or they're going to blame you. So it got to be some kind of medium there. I just have to throw that out there. Okay.
You know, let me just say, though, Kelly, that is, you raise a very strong, profound issue, and I just want to let our listeners know that this show is dedicated to the memory of Kelly's father, Mr. Edward L. Williams. We honor him. And then I just want to say that I can also relate because if anybody would have ever, if they would have even had paddling when my children were in school, oh, baby, I would have flipped the school on its backside, okay?
Yes.
You do not touch my children. That's what you don't do.
That's right.
So I know that. Now, we can have all the cordial conversations in the world. I promise you I won't tell you not my little Johnny. Yes, probably my little Johnny. I know my kids. What did he do?
Right, exactly.
What did she do?
You know your kids.
Okay, I can
tell by
whatever the incident is whether my child was involved. You know? So people know their children.
They can look.
So go ahead.
That's right.
You can look at your
child and you can tell us what's telling the truth. A lot of cases, I could always tell if my child was telling the truth or not. And thank goodness I could because I would get them, you know, if I knew they were telling a story. And then eventually they'd be like, you're right, Mom. I was telling the story. Yeah. But you could have a little brat. Yeah. But that would be one. And then what else? I love that, you know, like you said, just driving home, you know, when you're picking up your child or when your child gets home, like you said, just engage in what happened today. How was your day? And a lot of kids, for the most part, they volunteer it, you know, but if you do got that child that's kind of shy or reserved, then you do got to pull those things out of them. You got to pull it out of them. What did you do? How was your teacher? How was Mrs. Such and Such today? You know, how was that class? Because you know that child maybe has issues with language arts or arithmetic or whatever. You know, you just ask them, how was it? Are you good with, you know, how was it when you guys are having lunch? Or do you eat by, you know, that's a big thing. Let me tell you, in this day and age, there's so many antisocial children. Teens, they won't even eat in the cafeteria. There are classrooms filled with kids that just come and sit with staff because they don't want to be bothered. And I don't even know if people even know that. Kids do not want to be bothered with these kids out here that's being obnoxious and rude and mean. So they go to the classroom. So I would find out, you know, when you're eating lunch, are you sitting in that cafeteria? Are you with your peers? You know, do you eat all your food? Did you eat all your food? See if somebody took their food. You know, you got those too. They come around and try to take
preach.
The kids' food and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
uh-huh,
you gotta preach. She preaching now, y'all, because
right.
that happened
yep.
to my
that's
children.
Right.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so you just
because
you know you have to
line,
every. Yeah.
Cut in on the cafeteria line. They did that.
Yes,
all
exactly.
The mm-hmm.
Yes.
Taking your lunch
line,
money.
You know. Because, yes, exactly, and it's almost like so they know they got free time. They know they're not being, I mean, they are being supervised, but good grief, you got 200 kids in the cafeteria and only a few staff, so it's not, you know, that kind of supervision as it would be in a classroom. So they try to get away with more when they're in that line because no staff is in line. Staff is standing by the exit door, making sure kids aren't really coming in and out. There's really none in line or by the line watching the kids get their lunch. So those are important facts. And just, you know, just like you said, just staying engaged with them throughout and talking and bringing that out of those, especially the shy little girl or boy, just making them talk to you and asking them, with, you know, and in this day and age, you've got to come right out. Is anyone being mean to you? Do you think anyone's being mean to you? You know, or you know your child, and they for most part should tell you, well, yeah, little Sally was mad at you. She did something or whatever. Because, you know, we got so many issues not just inner city, suburban schools as well. This is like I said, this is going across the board. This is going everywhere. Bullying
mm-hmm.
is everywhere. That's why you're seeing a whole lot of kids and you know, hurting themselves. You look up and they're in the closet trying to, you know, take their own life and stuff. And it's just so, mm-hmm. but we have to be aware with all kids. This has no socioeconomic religion or anything like that. This is all about these kids just being bullied and being hateful, being hated on. So I guess that's it for now for me. I think I said enough.
profound. Yes. Dr. Marcia.
Okay, so I'm looking at the time, but I'm not going to stay long. So, you know, one of the things in listening to Kelly talk about, you know, why she was afraid to say anything, one of the things that I know that happens with Bradley is that at first he started to tell me and then he stopped and I would just have to find out that something was going on along the way, you know, by pressing and mm-hmm. pressing. And eventually he said to me, he said, Mom, I just don't want to be called a tattletale. So that's another thing. Once mm-hmm. he started telling, then they started attacking him for being a wuss and running to his mom and being a tattletale and stuff like that. So that's another thing that they have to deal with. Okay, so one of the things that I
mm-hmm.
say is we need to know our state law and district policies. We need to know what the law is and what our rights are. Because as it turns out, I had someone who was privately tutoring Bradley here, and come to find out, Bradley had shared with him before an incident concerning him being bullied, and he didn't do anything about it. He didn't say anything. And then Bradley eventually opened up to me about it. I said, does anyone else know about it? And he said, yes, Mr. So-and-so. And I said, are you serious? And he's done nothing. And I read the law, and that was against the law for him to do that, you know, to keep it secret. Yeah, so we have to know what our rights are, you know, as far as the law itself. And then also, you know, as I said, I'm not going to stay long because I see the time, but I would say the last two things, and you can look them up online, is we need to know what the signs are when someone is being bullied and what the signs are, the flip side, when a child is bullying others. So that's what I would say.
Well, ladies, this has been one of the most profound and righteous conversations that we have been able to have on this subject, and I want to thank both of you for spending part of your Saturday and this weekend on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community, hosted by myself, Beverly Black, and my co-host, Kelly Williams Bowman, y'all, parent advocate. Now, Kelly, tell everyone the name of your book And, well, let's let our guest go first, being mindful
okay.
of the time. Dr. Marcia, where can our listeners contact you? What are the names of your books? And any final remarks for our listeners?
Yeah, okay. So my listeners can find me at my website, MarciaDDemers.com. That's MARCIA as in my first name. D as in David, D as in David, E, M, E, R, S as in Sam, .com. So that's MarciaDDemers.com, and you'll find all of my information there. The names of my two bestsellers are, the first is Out of the Fire, From Poverty to Prosperity, and the second is Awaken, The Time is Now. And as far as closing remarks, I just want to just say that, you know, whether or not we have kids, we need to all be aware that this is a situation. You know, children are dying. Children are not only being killed by the assailants, but they're also taking their own lives. And, you know, all you have to do is pay attention to the news, you know, because someone is treating them poorly. You know, one thing that was not, well, I just barely glossed over was, you know, the situation on the buses also. It's also more difficult because of the time in which we live, because even the school bus drivers are now afraid for their lives. So they're afraid of intervening. So that's something that also has to be dealt with. You know, we have to enhance the driver's existence skills in building a supportive bus climate. You know, so that is what I have to say.
Wow. Thank you so very much for being our special guest, and we look forward to having
you
return. Thank you so very much. And Kelly, where can our listeners find you, and what is the name of your book, and any final thoughts that you may have?
Okay, they can go to Facebook. I'm Kelly Williams Bowler, and Kelly is with two E's. They can go to and you can go to Amazon. I have an ebook and I have the actual paperback book, and it's called The Mom. And then it says The Mom. Then it says the Kelly Williams Bolar story. So you have to put that in as well as The Mom. What else? Oh, I have two documentaries on Netflix. One is called The Truth About What's Called Dishonesty, The Truth About Lies, Survivor's Guide to Prison. I just did a cameo in both of those, and it was just really interesting, really, really interesting. And so you guys, I think everyone needs to check those two documentaries out. And just for fun, I did an audition, and I ended up making it to a show called Nailed It, and it was a cooking show, and I just think that's just fun, something fun and light.
Yay, congratulations.
And you have to check it out. You just have to check it out. It's on Netflix. It's called Nailed It, Season 2, Episode 5. And just check it out, you guys. And that's it.
Wow. Well, congratulations to both of you queens. You are doing your thing, and I'm Beverly Black. You can find me at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. I am the creator of Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel is also on social media via Facebook.com/Tribe Family Channel or on Twitter at Tribe Family US. You can email us to possibly be a guest on our show at tribefamilychannel@gmail.com. That's tribe, T-R-I-B-E, talent, respect, inspiration, beauty, empowerment, familychannel@gmail.com. And what I would like to say is for everyone to, it's part of my mission statement, and that is to be a beacon of light and hope to every life you encounter. That's taken right out of my mission statement, because that is just what I aspire to do. There is something that we can all help someone else with, and we just have to be cognizant of the emotions and the feelings and the humanness of others around us, and show some human kindness. So that is my final words, and we will be off of the air until next Wednesday, when we celebrate the birthday of Mr. Joseph W. Jackson, the patriarch of the Jackson family, live on Tribe Family Channel's Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, The Last Man Standing of the Shylights. It'll be at 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, right here on live, right here on Tribe Family Channel. So thank you so much for spending your Saturday with me. Wouldn't have had you do it any other way. Thank you once again, and God bless you. Have a great weekend, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye, guys. God bless.
Architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a stronger neck. Sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
I'll
be where I wanna be. Again, this is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go.
We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen.
I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be.
Save the music, y'all. Save the music.